Hello, everyone. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. Join us as we talk one-on-one with leading experts who answer life's most compelling questions, because in a world of uncertainty, we need answers right here, right now. America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life. The Meditation Museum in Silver Spring, Maryland offers a variety of courses and activities to make your life go a whole lot smoother. Located at 9525 Georgia Avenue, you'll be able to experience the beautiful silence that's in the space. There are courses in Raja Yoga meditation, positive thinking, stress-free living, and personal development classes. For more information, call us at 301-588-0144 or visit us online at meditationmuseum.org.
He went without food, not to lose weight, but to help people lose generations of hate. While many around him rose up with violence, he sat down for peace. When others used religion as an excuse for war, he used it to remind them of love. Mahatma Gandhi made the world a far better place by reaching out with the strength he cultivated within his soul. So, pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Welcome to America Meditating Radio. That was Kristen Hoffman, Love and Gratitude, and we dedicate that song to our lovely friends that we've known for decades, Eric Swaffer and Isabel Polinsky, who were the two pilots that went down in the helicopter crash, unfortunately, in Leicester in the UK, and they were among the five people that died in that that helicopter crash. We also send our love out to Vishay Srinivasaprabha and his entire family, who Eric and Issa were very, very close to. And we're hoping that the details will come in soon about what actually really happened, because Eric is an extremely good pilot, and we definitely wouldn't be feeling that something, you know, terribly happened as a result of pilot error. But from what we're hearing was that he steered the helicopter away from people so that more lives would be saved. So I'd like to just hold a moment of silence for our two beautiful friends that we've known for decades, who has lit up the world. Eric lit up the world with his laughter, and Ina with her joy. So for these two souls and the rest of the souls that went down, we send them our love, our peace, and our light. Let's hold a moment of silence. Om Shanti, and welcome back. Shalom. Salaam Alaikum. Good afternoon. You've tuned in to America Meditating Radio. I'm your host, Sister Jenna. We lost two of our friends who were the pilots in the Leicester helicopter crash that went down, and we just held a moment of silence. The silence is really to help the soul to feel the vibrations of that protective field around them as they travel to their next destination. We believe that the soul does take rebirth unless it has reached a point in its journey that it just has no more attachments whatsoever. Then it goes back to source. But we do believe that once there's an element of attachment, it comes back to live out the journey of what attachment offers in love. And it lives to its best ability. And it really has rocked our community, because they were just two of the most adorable individuals. They used to stay at my house, actually, when I was in my 20s. And Eric was a very, very dear friend of ours. And he stayed many, many a times at our home in Coral Gables, Florida. So we sent him and his family and friends and everyone that's been affected lots of love and light. On another note, it gives me great pleasure to welcome Simon Chikowski, who is a pioneer in using Vedic astrology and Dharma typing to help people discover their soul's purpose. He runs a private consulting business based on his trainings in Vedic life mapping and Vedic astrology. Simon is the author of several books, including his new release, Dharma Method, 7 Daily Steps to Spiritual Advancement. He is also the creator of the Decoding Your Life Map with Vedic Astrology DVD series, and he travels widely conducting seminars. Today we welcome Simon Chikowski to the America Meditating Radio. Hi, Simon. A very warm welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Congratulations on the release of your new book, The Dharma Method. Before we discuss your book, what is Dharma, and how do we find it? Is it a it even?
Yeah, Dharma is what you were put on this earth to do. It's your purpose. And I like to say Dharma erases karma, because karma is the circumstances of your life, the family you were born in, socioeconomic status, the body that you have, all of the things that are fairly difficult to change. The one thing that you can own is your Dharma, which is what you're going to do with all of those things. And my previous books, 5 Dharma Types and 6 Love and Dharma, are all about that, how to hack into your software so you get the most out of it.
Now, you know, my understanding of karma, it's the sum total of all the thoughts, words, and actions a soul has performed over a long period of time. We can do it in one lifetime. We can do it maybe in some Hindu traditions, 84 lifetimes. And, you know, the emotions and the feelings are sitting in there. So as a result of the recording of the karma, we tend to express what we deeply believe, which will be our dharma. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And, you know, Dharma in the Vedic tradition is further classified into four categories. One is called Sanchita Karma, which is the sum total of all of the memories and impressions over many, many lifetimes. And Prarabdha Karma is the second category, which is the subset of those impressions that you're likely to experience in this lifetime. Because for most of us, the sum total of our karma is unknowable. And that's why when great saints are born, like the Buddha, for example, or like Christ, they knew, they saw, or they intuited all of their past lives, and they could see all, quote-unquote, all of the karma, sanchita. Mm-hmm. But for most of us, we're experiencing a subset of that, which you can actually view from the horoscope. And so your astrological map is literally a map of your karma. And sometimes looking at
your
that
karma
is,
at present, though. Your karma at present, not the full-blown karma.
In this lifetime.
Right,
this lifetime,
right, okay.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about your book, and what is the Dharma Method?
Well, the Dharma Method is the lazy person's guide to enlightenment, because I'm a lazy guy, I have to be honest. And by lazy, I mean that it's not part of my sort of personality to be a yogi and meditate for 8 hours a day in a cave, or to do a lot of the rigorous things that the great saints have done to free themselves of karma. So over the last 20 years, you know, I've spent time in various traditions studying what really works, simply because, you know, I'm kind of slow, I'm kind of lazy, and I want to know what is it that has a deep and quick effect on our spiritual lives. And, you know, things like fasting, for example. In a day, you fast for a day, you get lighter really quick, getting up at sunrise and doing any number of these things that I list in the Dharma Method and explain will quickly begin to create light and balance in your life. And these are things that I'm not making up. There are things that, you know, Buddha fasted, Moses fasted, Jesus fasted, Muhammad fasted. They all fasted. So
right.
It's got to work, you know?
Yeah, like we have proof, right, that it did work. It's something that I have raised, Simon, that to what extent do we really have proof that they claimed nirvana or went there? And I'm not saying it as a doubtful skeptic. I'm saying it for us to really find some real meaning in what our spiritual journey is about, and why astrology is so important, and why, you know, having the power of intuition and study and rituals or the tapasya, all these things are important. To what extent currently is it clear to me that if I do this to another level? And I always wonder about the whole notion of enlightenment, because in your book, you say that enlightenment means different things to different people, and I get that. But what does enlightenment actually mean to you? And how does one get onto the path of enlightenment? Many years ago, I thought it was a destination. Now, enlightenment is just when I'm really in a beautiful space at the present moment, and I'm a really good person, especially with others. I go, well, that was my moment of enlightenment. And before, you know, Simon, it was like, I'm going to go to my enlightenment. What are your thoughts and definition of enlightenment for you?
Well, one of my teachers defined it as enlightening, not enlightenment, that it is a process of simply becoming lighter. And there's a Sanskrit word called sattva, which describes it. Sattva means light and purity, and it's not anything you have to get. It's actually inside, and all we have to do is clean out the inner mirror, if you will, that reflects. It's like when you get a cut, you know, what's your job? Do you actually do any healing? Well, no, your job is just to keep that wound clean, and the healing happens on its own, and enlightenment is the exact same thing. It's in us. And the process of enlightening is simply allowing that light to shine more and more. And that's what the spiritual, you know, heavyweights of the world have taught us in various ways. And where we get tied up is they taught one-on-one. So when someone asked them a question, they would give a teaching, and that'd be for that person. Give up all your wealth and follow me. But that was for that person. Then, you know, the Buddha may have said, fast on these days or renounce this, but that was for that person. And so we have to find what is it for us that works. And I've listed 11 methods in this book, but honestly, this book doesn't have all the answers either. It's a tool to help you connect with what really works for you and what's, like you said, what's been proven to work. And what's been proven is, you know, even the Buddha said, don't trust anybody. If I tell you something, don't take it at face value. Try it. See if it works. If it doesn't work, throw it out, even if I said it. And so the ultimate proof is to see not only the behavior of the person, you know, how they were, but also their effect on the people who follow them. And so, you know, there are stories of the Buddha that within a 50-mile radius, wherever he went, that the farmers would sort of drop their yoke and begin to think about life, and that babies would stop crying. And I mean, you know, I'm sure they're exaggerations, but there's something to it, that their very presence creates a calm and creates a peace inside you that makes you wonder, huh, maybe there's something else.
Yeah, that is true. You can feel it from the vibration of a human being if they're doing deep, deep, deep work. There's no doubt. You've talked about sound. And a lot of astrologers are saying that we're in a particular period where sound will become a very important tool towards our healing and also elevation. So why is sound so important? And can you put some light on how mantras actually work for us spiritually, relationship-wise, financial-wise, emotionally?
Sure. Well, sound, first of all, sound is part of something I call active meditation. And so I talk about this in this book. It's a very small book, but it's 140 pages. My mom said, my first book was 400 pages. And she said, Simon, please write something for the simple people like me. I cannot understand. I said, okay, Mom. So this is a very, very small book. And it talks about active and passive meditation. Active meditation is when you are talking to God using sound, mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, or any number of mantras or prayers, you are creating a vibration with presumably a certain intention to become enlightened, to attract a partner, to attract wealth and prosperity, to improve your health, to help someone, to help a soul who is transitioning, such as those souls who passed away recently. There are specific mantras for that. They're very powerful. And those are all done with a specific intention. Then, and they work because those sounds align with that intention and they send it out into the universe. Then there is something called, that I call passive meditation. So active meditation is AM, passive meditation is PM. And that's where you simply sit after doing active meditation and do absolutely nothing and you receive. And that's listening to God. Listening for the response. Because if you only talk, like I'm doing right now, and don't listen, it's a one-way street, right?
Yeah.
So mantras are a powerful way to connect to the divine, and it's you talking to the divine, but you also have to listen.
Well, I am right now. We're in a very interesting time, and America, Brazil, Europe, Africa, the whole world is really in a very interesting state. We would call it's under the omens of Rahu. Could you share with us a little bit, you know, what is Vedic astrology saying, particularly about the times that we're in, and what steps can we actually take to move towards a more Satyugi or golden age at time? Are some of those ideas also in your book?
A little bit, yes, though not explicitly about, you know, the political culture in the world. But one thing that astrology, both tropical and Vedic, is particularly good at is showing us the big picture and the cycles that not only human beings go through, but countries. Because anything that is born in space and time has an astrological signature. So a human being is born in a particular city at a particular date and time, and so is a country. So the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, they were signed at a specific time and place. And so the United States has a horoscope. And what's happening in the U.S. horoscope is that Saturn is, at least the horoscope that I use, that the planet Saturn, which rules conservatism, is right on the ascendant, which means the country is gripped by a conservative kind of energy. At the same time, which you very astutely mentioned, is that Rahu, the north node of the moon, which indicates generational karma, past life hurts. Rahu is ruling the period that the United States is in. So we're affected by Saturn and affected by Rahu. And Rahu is bringing up essentially all of the repressed things that have been in that, in our country, at least in the United States, sort of DNA is all being brought up. And, you know, we'll see what happens. It's a turbulent time. Not to mention the fact that right, I think it was 2016, right before inauguration, a massive total solar eclipse, or just after it, cut the United States in half, almost literally along the Mason-Dixon line. I mean, it was incredible, the symbology.
Yeah, remember that period?
Yeah.
I remember that. I'd forgotten about that. Yeah, that's the telltale sign that just hold on tight, fasten your seatbelts, it's going to be a ride, but don't give up hope, because I think that no matter what, it's always been proven that light is stronger than the dark. It's just a matter of who it takes into the vortex and who, you know, sells short the dark level of consciousness and forgets that, you know, it's a long-term plan here. You know, the human spirit has a long-term journey, and we need to make decisions that are based on long-term decisions. A lot of us make choices based on emotions. We feel upset, angry, disappointed, marginalized, isolated, and sometimes we don't think, you know, my turn will come. I'm not even worried. I've got good karmas under my belt. It's just a matter of time. You know, how can I support? What can I do to help? And based on your work, I would be curious to know, what do most spiritual traditions and religions have you observed actually have in common?
What they have in common is exactly what you just said. The deep, not belief, but understanding that the reality is love and light. That's the real thing. The illusion is everything else. And one parable from the Eastern traditions is, you know, when it's dark, it's easy to mistake a piece of rope on the ground for a snake. And you see it, and you jump, you get startled. But turn the light on, and the snake disappears. So where did the snake go? Well, there was no snake there in the first place. It was an illusion. But even though it was an illusion, it still had a very profound effect. It changed your chemistry. You got scared. You ran to the other side of the street to avoid it. It affected your behavior. So during times of darkness, people's behavior, emotions will be affected, even though it's not based on anything that's real. Because what is real, what is enduring, as you know, everyone from Dr. King to Gandhi and to all the saints of both the East and West traditions have asserted, is that your soul is the everlasting and it lives in light. The impermanent is everything else.
And nowadays we need light.
Well, and to that end, to make it practical, so you might go, okay, well, that's all nice and good, but, you know, I still got to pay the bills, and there's, you know, people picketing outside my door. How, you know, what do I do with that? Right? And what you do is you do your dharma. Krishna said, it's bad to fail, better to fail at your own being yourself than trying to be someone else. And doing your dharma may... How do I know my dharma? Well, a look at your horoscope can help. A look at your dharma type can help. But, you know, internally, you may not need any of that. Internally, you probably know it already. People like me write books, but they're all in sort of suggestions. They're pointing instructions.
Right. I know. They're pointing directions. They're just basically giving us ideas and another way to think so we can help ourselves to maybe just get more enlightened, more alive in our spirit being. Are you on any book tours? Are there any talking events coming up for you?
I am not, actually. I have the benefit of being an anonymous author, so I can walk and go anywhere and not be recognized. But no, I'm currently not doing anything, probably in 2019.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds good. Simon Chukowski, thank you so much for joining us on America Meditating Radio. And I would love if anyone's interested about astrology and Simon's new book, The Dharma Method, Seven Daily Steps to Spiritual Advancement. What's the best website that folks can find you on, Simon?
Sure. It is spirittype.com, all one word, spirittype.
There we go. Many good wishes, and thank you. Lots of love
thank
and light
you so
your
much.
Way. Welcome. Likewise. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye. Nowadays, we really are in need for more ancient, mystical information, knowledge about how we can amplify our energy. I know we are human beings. We go through emotions. We go through feelings. The other day, I was with someone in a car, and it's somebody who I know has kind of said a lot and done a lot to me, and I just sat there, and it was so interesting. There was an observer in the back of the car watching, and I swear to you, I had no negative vibes. It was like, okay, it's just, this was my moment. This is just my moment. I'm really intrigued by this moment. Mark you, you know, I wouldn't make certain decisions down the road where things are concerned. But it's just that, you know, we need to have more of these moments where we can get over our little stuff. You know, all those little stuff, you know, those little bad feelings that we walk around with and deal with, and just let it go. Let it go. I was dealing with someone the other day, and they've been just going through a lot of stuff, and I just had to kind of take them under my wings and bring them to a particular place so they could feel comfortable and settle them in and just move on. You know, it's like, why do we get our energies stuck? It's a question I'll leave you with to ponder on. So remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission, and we really are here to love each other the same. Shine your light so bright that folks around you will want to shine also just as bright. Here is E Pluribus Unum for my Inclusion Revolution meditation. If you haven't gotten a copy yet, go and get one in iTunes or Amazon. Take care, everyone. Many good wishes.
E Pluribus Unum is not meant to suggest that power should be consolidated into a single individual, but rather that power is innately possessed by every individual, which makes up a single collective. In this meditation, I gently allow my thoughts to become aware that each and every thought is a part of a collective community inside myself. When I choose to nurture thoughts of peace and abundance, I generate safety around me and for others to experience. I'm a part of a collective, and what I think, feel, and do creates a community inside myself and outside of myself. I, the living soul, am a citizen, and through my life, I amplify unity, values, love, and togetherness. I use these pure thoughts to govern my life and to share pure feelings with everyone around me. I am not here to be ruled by any waste thoughts or by anyone. Rather, I'm here to rule my life with virtues and respect. I am one out of many, and together, I, you, us, make up a world of kindness and abundance. Let me sit in this pure meaning of E Pluribus Unum. I'm Sister Jenna. You've been listening to America Meditating Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Did you enjoy that conversation? Because you can also listen to it on Spotify or in iTunes 24/7, anytime, anywhere. I do trust we all have inner power to become our very best. When we listen with curiosity to learn more, we grow. So thanks so much for tuning in, and do be easy on yourself. Take care.